The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Daled says a paladik mimra, a very, very strange halacha. It says that if a Talmud gave an argument to acquit the defendant, and then the Talmud subsequently passes away, so we still count his vote as a vote for the acquittal, even though he's no longer alive. And this is a very strange halacha, because in general, live people are entitled to a vote, dead people are not entitled to a vote, and that is logic, and it holds true to the Sanhedrin also. The Sanhedrin has to vote in order to either find the defendant guilty or to find him innocent. And in this case, how can it be that a dead person is allowed to vote together with the Sanhedrin? It's a very, very difficult question. And it led the Rishonim to say some pretty far-out pshatim. So just as an example, a pshat which the Chidushi Haran rejects, he says, some people say that we're talking about where the Talmud said, I have a reason to acquit, to find the defendant innocent, and he didn't have a chance to tell us the reason, and therefore, before he passed away, and therefore, Beis Din has to acquit the defendant because they have to be worried that had this Talmud spoken out his reason, they would have been convinced by it, and they would have acquitted him. And now they have insufficient evidence or insufficient argument, they're missing a possible argument that would have convinced them, and therefore they have to acquit him. And the Chidush Rambam reject this for obvious reasons, because they don't have to acquit just because of a possibility of an argument that they didn't think of. And that's just an example of the lengths which Rishonim are willing to go to explain this seemingly strange phenomenon that a dead person is entitled to a vote. The reason that this solution deals with it is because he doesn't actually have a vote. We just, because of his possible argument, we have to dismiss the case. But it's not that he actually has a vote. That's the advantage of this pshat. And we've shown him, even though it itself has many disadvantages. So if we reject this pshat and the other, you know, far-out pshatim we've shown him, so we're left with the problem, how can it be that this dead Talmud has a vote in terms of finding the defendant innocent? So the Bris Gerov has the following mahalach. The Bris Gerov argues that essentially there are two separate independent votes that are taken in any case. The first vote is a vote about the theoretical halacha. It's a vote about, in the abstract, what should the halacha be? Given, you know, the following parameters, the following details of a case, so how does halacha apply to all these details? Then there's a second vote, which after they've determined what the halacha is, you know, whether to darshan one way, whether to darshan a different way, whether to paskin like this tana or like that tana, so they voted and they followed the majority about who to paskin like and what drashos to make, etc. Then they take another vote about applying the theoretical abstract halacha to the case in front of them. So there's two separate votes, he says. There's the first vote, which is like people in Beis Medrash. There's 100 people or 71 people or 23 people in Beis Medrash. They want to know what the halacha is. So we follow the majority, we take a vote, and we say, okay, this is the halacha. And the second vote is like practical. It's not so much theoretical. It can't just take place in the abstract. It has to take place about a concrete case, and it's a question of applying the halacha that was previously decided to the case at hand. So based on this, now there's two separate votes. One could argue that the two votes are very, very different. When it comes to the vote about abstract and theoretical halacha, so the point is to know what the emes is. So if somebody suggested an opinion, then that opinion maybe could be mixtari, if the same way that poskim sometimes nowadays will say, okay, let's count up the shitos, the Rashba and the Ramban and the Ran say one way, and the Ritva says the other way, and the Rashba, the Ramban, and the Ran are more than there are three, and the Ritva is only one, so we'll follow the majority of poskim. The Beis Yosef says, you know, amongst the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh, so we'll follow two out of three. The Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh are no longer alive, and they weren't even alive in the times of the Beis Yosef. So the answer is, when it comes to being Koveya, the theoretical halacha, just to know whom to paskin like or what Rosh was to make, we certainly can rely even on the opinions of people who are no longer alive. It's a different type of vote. That's a type of vote where even dead people are entitled to a vote. So that's a type of vote, says Bris Gerov, where a Talmud who passed away, his opinion still counts for being koveya the abstract halacha. It's only when it comes to being koveya the concrete halacha, applying halacha to the case in front of us, that is when we need to take a minyan with a full Beis Din of live participants. So this is an amazing yesod. There's two separate votes, one about the theoretical halacha, one about the practical halacha. For the theoretical halacha, the requirements of for whom is allowed to vote are far more relaxed. Now, based on this, the Brisker Rav explains a number of other surprising psakim in the Rambam and in the Gemara. So, for example, the Gemara also says that the Baal Din himself, the defendant in a capital case, is entitled to offer his opinion. He's entitled to cast a vote in his own case, which is an incredible pella. How can the defendant himself cast a vote in his case? So the Chidushi Aran says, if you look, the Gemara mentions this halacha on Daf Lamed Vav. The Chidushi Aran says it doesn't really mean he's entitled to a vote. It means that Beis Din doesn't want him to feel bad, so if he has something to say, we'll listen to him. But he certainly doesn't change our deliberations. We just don't make him keep quiet. We let him offer his input in the judgment and the dialogue surrounding his case. But we certainly don't count him for any vote. That's what the Chidush Aran says. The Brisker Rav explains for the Rambam, though, that one might say differently. When it comes to the theoretical abstract halacha, when it comes to the vote about that halacha, just like a dead person can cast a vote in that case, the defendant can cast a vote in that case. It's totally separate from him. It's at a higher plane. It's theoretical. So therefore, he's allowed to cast a vote. We'll listen to him and we'll count him in the ultimate vote. It's only when it comes to applying it to the case at hand that we won't count the defendant's vote and that will require a vote of people who are not related or who are not litigants. But when it comes to the theoretical halacha, it's like a base medrash. The base in courtroom turns into a base medrash. Everyone's entitled to a say in the give and take of halachic debate. So it's another interesting leniency when it comes to voting on the theoretical halacha. A third example that the Brisker Rav says. The Rambam writes that when it comes to dini mamonis, not by dini nefashos, but by dini mamonis, by monetary cases, so if you have a father and a son, or a Rebbe and a Talmud, they're entitled to two separate votes. The father and the son, two separate votes. The Rebbe and Talmud, two separate votes. Even though we know in general that two krovim are not, just like two krovim are not allowed to be meyed, father and his son, they are related to one another. They can't be two adim because they're considered like one person. And they also can't judge a case usually. Two krovim can't be on the same basin. The basin has to be all not related to one another. Otherwise, it's lacking. It's only one basin. Or maybe the whole basin is pasul because nimtza echa mehem karov o pasul kulam, kulam psulim. So how can it be? And this is the kasha that the Ravid asks on the Rambam. How can it be that they count as two separate votes? They should invalidate the entire court. So to that, again, the Brisker Rav says, for the Rambam, there's two separate votes in the theoretical halacha, so we don't really care about people being krovim. Theoretical halacha, every single opinion is entitled, it counts as its own opinion, regardless of whom it comes from. As opposed to when it comes to the practical vote, certainly we would not allow father and son or Rebbe and Talmud to participate in this vart. The Brisker Rav explains, what's the difference between the theoretical vote and the practical vote? It says the theoretical vote is not a din, it's just a horah. It's simply based in teaching Torah. When it comes to teaching Torah, so then we follow, we take the input of all the different opinions, and then we come to a conclusion based on the majority of opinion. Let's say there's a dispute about what to teach or how to teach or what the halacha is. So that's what we do. Practical halacha is different. Practical halacha means utilizing the powers and the authorities of Beis Din. That already has much more formalized set of requirements. So far we've explained three halachos, three leniencies that the Rambam seems to offer in terms of who's capable of voting. Dead person can vote, the defendant himself can vote, and perhaps two relatives are entitled to two separate votes, and we said all three of those leniencies only apply to the vote about the theoretical halacha and not to the vote about the practical and applied halacha. And the Brisker Rav connects us to one other machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah lois haseh, there's an injunction in the Torah, which is a mitzvah for a person who's been melamed zechus, who's given an argument to find the defendant innocent in capital cases, not to go back and vote that the defendant is guilty. And the Ravid asks on the Rambam, what do you mean? L'chora, this is against the Gemara, because in our Gemara, Rav says that even if a person advanced an argument in favor of the defendant, he's allowed by the Gemar Din, by the final vote, he's allowed to retract that argument and he's allowed to vote that the defendant is guilty. So how can the Rambam write that it's a mitzvah for him not to vote guilty if he advanced an argument that the defendant is innocent? So to this, Brisker Rav says, again, the Rambam holds that there's two separate votes. There's a theoretical vote, and there's a practical vote. There's an applied vote. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah that as long as we're still within a theoretical vote, there's a mitzvah for anybody who advanced an argument in favor not to vote against. It's only when it comes to the practical vote, to the applied vote, that there's a capability and a possibility for a dayan who advanced an argument to acquit the defendant, to retract his position, and to actually find the defendant guilty. Now again, it seems clear in these contexts that the Ravid holds that there's only one vote. There's only an applied vote, and there's no theoretical vote. There's just a discussion, and then an applied vote. And that's why the Ravid argues on the Rambam in terms of giving the two Krovim, the Af and the Ben, or the Rav and the Talmud. The Rambam gave them two votes. The Ravid says, no, they only get one vote, because for the Ravid, there's only one vote. There's only one time that they take polls, and that's all the way at the end by the applied votes. And there, certainly, the Ravid can't give them two separate votes. And the Rambam gives them two separate votes by the theoretical vote. The Ravid holds that no such vote exists. And the same thing over here. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah loisase, that a dayan can't vote against the defendant if he advanced the argument in his favor. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? He's allowed to retract his position. Because for the Rambam, we're talking about a theoretical vote. The Ravid, no such vote exists. So the Ravid al-Karchach can't have such a mitzvah, because for the Ravid, there's only the practical vote, and when it comes to the practical applied vote, the dayan is allowed to be chozer. And this machlokas about how many votes there are is incredibly important, not only for these four issues, but for many, many other issues that come up in the course of the Masechta as well.